began that study by using illustration about what's being said at my house. I'm not going to go through all of that, but what I told you is every clock in our house is different, and you can walk from room to room to room to room, and you never find the same time. So if you wanted to set your set your watch at our house, then you'd never have any standard time. You'd walk from our bedroom, it would be about 13 minutes ahead, to the boys' room, which might be anything, because Joshua or John changes the time in there all the time. You go into the kitchen, it's about 3 or 4 minutes ahead. Go into our living room, we're about 2 or 3 minutes behind, so you never really know what time it is. And what I'm saying is there's no standard time in our home. If I want to set my watch, I have to call time, 363-1212, and really they're never exactly right. You can go through town, you can look at either the CB&T, what is that bank there? First National on this side, it's about 3 minutes behind. It seems to me like the one over town up on the big tall building, but I do call 363-1212, and my watch is set with that time. That's a standard. What am I doing? I'm trying to reconcile my watch, trying to find some standard. Well, God was in Christ, and he reconciled the world unto himself. That means he made it possible for man to be saved. That means that he made it possible to be accepted by God. That was on the cross of Calvary, and that's what we talked about last week, three weeks ago. If you'll remember, we gave the little illustration with three boys here. One was looking that way, one was looking that way, and then sin was in the middle. And when God reconciled, he sent Jesus Christ to the cross, he turned around to man, and now it's man's responsibility to turn back around to God. In the Garden of Eden, man and God was face to face. Man sinned. Man turned from God. God had to turn from man. Through the blood of Calvary, God reconciled man unto himself through Jesus Christ. He turned back to man. He offered himself. That's reconciliation. Now, we talked about 3 weeks ago that there is a reconciliation of the individual to God. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. That's where we're going to start tonight. That was our text, 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. I think I'll begin reading in verse number 17, read through verse number 21, then we'll have prayer. But there is a reconciliation of the individual to God. God was in Christ reconciling the world. And not talking about the physical earth, but it's talking about mankind in general, reconciling or making reconciliation possible for man. And so God offers reconciliation of the individual to God. Verse number 17 and following, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself, look at verse number 18, by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, Father, I pray that you bless, have your sweet will and way. Give me clarity of thought, clarity of speech. And Father, as I teach this truth, I pray that it would seek deep into our hearts, that it might transform our lives, that we might serve you. And Father, we'll thank you and praise you. Give me your power, anoint me from on high. Plus, give me clarity of thought and speech. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, man was made savable when Jesus Christ died on the cross. That's simply what reconciliation means. But not all men get saved. There are the whosoever wills, and there are the whosoever won'ts. And so man can be saved. God made his move on Calvary. Now it's man's turn. Now, I want to look at something else here. In verse number 18, the latter part of it, it simply says, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, the scriptural teaching of reconciliation is on the basis by which the world was reconciled to God, and sinners can individually be reconciled to God. I'm going to give you about 7 things here. Now, number one, as far as doctrine, as far as reconciliation, number one, reconciliation came through Christ. And so that's why he's the central figure in Christianity. God was in Christ. It says there in verse number 18, we are reconciled to him by Jesus Christ. And so the first thing, reconciliation is through Christ. Secondly, reconciliation is accomplished through not only Christ, but through his death. Now, I want you to look at Romans chapter 5, verse number 10. The death of Christ. Now, it's the blood that atones, the blood that saves, but the death of Christ reconciles man to God. Romans chapter 5, verse number 10. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by what? The death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And so, reconciliation is through Christ, and reconciliation is accomplished through the death of Christ. Now, there's a symbol for the death of Christ. What is that symbol? Tell me. It's the cross. The cross represents the death of Christ. So I want you to look at Romans chapter 5, verse number, let's look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 16 first. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 16. The death of Christ is symbolized by the cross of Christ. And so reconciliation is through the cross of Calvary. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 16. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the what? Cross. Having slain the enmity thereby. So, reconciliation is through Christ. Reconciliation is accomplished through Christ's death. Reconciliation is by the cross. Now, what are we doing? We're setting a standard. How is man reconciled to God? Through Christ. That's the standard. There's no other way to be reconciled to God. You can't go through religion. You can't go through crucifixes. You can't go through seven sacraments. You can't go through baptism. It's the cross that reconciles. It's the death of Christ. And so we see the standard is through Christ. Fourthly, we're reconciled by the blood. Look back at Romans chapter 5, verse number 11. Romans 5, verse number 11 says this. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Now, the word atonement, we know what it means. It simply means at one end. It means reconciling man to God. That's what it means. And so we see here that it says we're reconciled by the atonement or the payment by blood. That simply means blood on the mercy seat. In the Old Testament, the high priest took the blood of the sacrificial animal, took it to the basin in the holy place behind the veil into the presence of God in the Holy of Holies, and he sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat. When he did that, he was making reconciliation for the sins of the people, and reconciliation is always by the sprinkling of blood. Now, I've made several comments about it, and I'll continue to do so because there's a heresy going across this land, and you'll pick it up on your TV preachers for sure. Some of the ones that you might think are straight, they'll make it seem like this. They'll say it's the death of Christ that paid for sins, not the blood. And they make the blood non-essential. Now listen, there's a fine line there. They say it's the death of Christ and the blood was really important, but it's not what saved. Well, see, you have to deny the scripture to say that. Because the Bible says, without the shedding of what? Blood. There is no remission. Now, some big names that used to be, quote-unquote, fundamentalists have fallen for that. Now, I'll give you a name, and he's not an independent Baptist. He's a, I think it's called Evangelical Free. It's a denomination out in California. His name's John MacArthur. If you ever heard of him, he teaches it's the death of Christ and not the blood. But the Bible teaches it's the blood. It's the blood that reconciles us. So, we see that it's very important. He was making, in the Old Testament, the high priest was making reconciliation for sins of the people, setting a standard whereby men could come back to God. Now, what's the standard? It's the what? Tell me. It's the blood. That's the standard. All right? Can man be saved apart from the blood? All right? So let's say you go to some old dead liberal church that doesn't preach the blood. Are you doing right or doing wrong? You're doing wrong. That's not my opinion. That's God's opinion. Churches are to get the gospel out. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that includes the blood. And if a man is standing behind the pulpit, does not teach and preach that the blood is the only way, then you're in the wrong church. And I mean that sincerely. You're out of place. It's the blood. It's not anything else. It's not emphasis on the Holy Spirit that saves you. It's the blood. It's not emphasis on church catechisms, it's the blood. And so the blood is the reconciling factor. It's through Christ. It was accomplished by the death of Christ. It was on the cross, and it's through the blood. Now, another thing. Reconciliation is based upon Christ's identification with sinners so that he took their place. You see, when he shed his blood, he was shedding his blood in whose place? Simple. He was shedding his blood in our place. And so we can say, Christ identified with us, we identify with him. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 20. Now, preachers need to stick to the Word of God. Because how you get off into these tangents is to follow some man's philosophy that may sound good, it may sound sugar-coated, and it may go down real good, but when you get right to the bottom of the pit of your stomach, you just can't reconcile it with what the Bible says. It's the topic of the blood. It's the topic of the death of Christ. What saves? The atonement is made by blood. There's no forgiveness without the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see that Christ identified with sinners so that he took our place. Look at verse number 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God, for he hath made him, this is the holy trade, sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He identified with us. Through the blood, we identify with him. He took our place. You can be adjusted to Christ's standard because God made Christ sin, or made him to become sin for us. That's how we gain holiness. I made a statement 3 weeks ago. Said, you'll never get into the presence of God without holiness. And it's God's holiness. And you'll never receive the holiness of God without going through the blood. That's it. Hey, the Bible says, you'll never see God without being holy. And holy means separated unto him. How are you separated unto him? Through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it all goes back to the blood. Reconciliation is based on the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me give you one other thing. The Lord Jesus Christ in his death on the cross brought a great change. It was a positional change. He changed his relationship with the world to himself, and he rendered the world savable. But it was also an experimental change because the change can only affect those who accept the truth. That's it. It's conditional. It's based upon those who accept it by faith. He made everyone savable, but not everyone will get saved. Now, what about our part? What if you're already saved here tonight? What about reconciliation? Well, what about the message of reconciliation? I hope you're all still in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 18. It says, all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath, look what it says now, hath given to us. Now, I'm going to stop there. Who is us? Is that the pastor? I'll be honest with you. Look at me. Wake up. Come on, wake up. It's Wednesday night. I'm tired. I'm about ready to go to sleep. But you wake up, all right? Who is the us? It's talking about Paul and just the few people that were with him? No. Is it talking about just the pastor and maybe the few people who do the work on the van and visit, go door to door? No. It's talking about every brother and sister in Christ. So, it says here that we all have a ministry. Somebody says, well, I don't really have a ministry. Everybody has a ministry. Right here it is. Everybody that's saved has a ministry, and it's called the ministry of reconciliation. Everybody here has been called to be a minister. of reconciliation. Well, what is that? That's what it says. Look at what it says. Read it yourself. Verse 18. And hath given to what? Us. We as us. The ministry of reconciliation. What is that ministry? Telling people that God will save them and telling them how to get saved. That's the ministry. Look at verse number 19. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us, committed unto us the word of reconciliation. God has done the work, and we're to tell everybody about it. That's the ministry. That's the ministry of reconciliation. Now look at verse number 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for who? Christ. Ambassadors represent the head of a kingdom. An ambassador doesn't really, we think like this, an ambassador doesn't really represent the country. He represents the head of state. All right? Let's say our country sends an ambassador to West Germany. Who is he representing? He's representing our president, because our president can't go everywhere and talk to everyone in a given time. He represents the president of the United States. That's the way it's set up. That's the way it's supposed to be. All right? As ambassadors, who do we represent? We represent Christ. As we go out from Victory Baptist Church, we're not going out just to represent this church and to get excited about coming to church. We're out there representing Christ. And so the ministry of reconciliation doesn't mean you knock on the door and say, hey, I want you to come to church with me. It's all right to do that, but you're not conducting the ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation says, I want you to go to heaven with me and tell them how to get there. That's the ministry. We're ambassadors. We represent Jesus Christ. He is not here. Even though we know his presence is here because he promised to meet with us, actually he sits on the right hand of the Father. That's what the Bible says. He meets with us in a special way, but he's seated on the right hand of the Father. He's not here physically. He can't knock on the door now. He won't knock on the door now. He's left it to us. That's the ministry of reconciliation. That's the standard. He said angels could have done it, but they didn't do it. But he left it to Christians. Now, it is not, here's the question most people ask. Well, Lord, they hit the altar and said, what do you want me to do, God? Am I supposed to be an ambassador? That's not the question. Everybody is. The question is, what kind of ambassador are you? That's the question. Are you taking the message of reconciliation? Are you taking it out to lost and dying world? Are you taking it to your neighborhood? Are you taking? I'm not saying now, listen, I'm not saying going to your home and going out through neighborhood and say, hey, come to church with me. I'm not saying, hey, we got brand new pews, come to church with me. Well, that's good if you want them to come. It's good to say, hey, come. It's easier to sit on these than it was the old ones we had. That's fine. But that's not the ministry of reconciliation. I'm not saying just going out and visiting. I'm saying, hey, are you trying to introduce them to Christ? Are you saying, there's a king way up there in heaven, he died for our sins, and he offers you a ticket to heaven through his death, burial, and resurrection. Would you take it? Now that's the ministry of reconciliation. God set the standard. He said there's only one way to get to heaven, that's through Christ, and we have the ministry of reconciliation. Look at verse 20. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, look what it says, who am I working for? God. Who are you working for? God. See what it says? It says, as though God did beseech you, that means beg you by us. When I stand on the front porch and tell somebody they need to get saved and tell them how to get saved and say, would you get saved? I'm there not representing Bob Barker. I'm not even representing Victory Baptist Church. I'm there representing a king that is the greatest thing I ever knew, the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. See, Christ reconciled everyone to God in actuality, but only those who will come to him in simple childlike faith will that reconciliation take effect. You see? So everybody has the offer. God is unchanging. And God still offers it. And he says this. He says, be reconciled my way or be banished from the kingdom forever. Now that, it doesn't change. I don't know if you've been to the Dairy Mart lately. Some things never change. And we live in a society that teaches people that, hey, do your own thing, situation ethics, sometimes it's right to lie, if it's not going to hurt anyone, sometimes it's right to do this. So we live in that society. I was taught that all my life. Hey, it's temporal. Everything changes. But see, God's word never changes. And there's certain things that are black, certain things that are white, they never change. In the Dairy Mart, they have these little coffee cups. Have you seen them? They're the craze of the land. These little coffee cups where you stick them on your dash and they have a little base and you slide them in. You don't spill your coffee, you know, it just stays right there. It reminded me of a story about something not changing, not moving. When I was back at Briscoe Run, Marty Fullerton and I and Preacher Burge went on visitation. And Preacher Burge had one of these little coffee cup holders, but Marty Fullerton didn't know it. Preacher Burge got in the car with a cup of coffee, and Marty Fullerton was in the front seat. I was in the back seat, and I watched the whole thing, and it tickled me because he put his coffee cup down. Marty didn't know there was anything to hold it, so he thought it was just sitting there. And Preacher Burge just started driving up the road. Boy, he made the first turn, and I watched Marty. He watched that coffee cup, and as Preacher Burge turned, he goes, he follows along. He just waited to catch the thing. Then he made another turn. He just sort of followed along with it. You know? And by the time we made it to the first visit, he was a nervous wreck. He thought, man, how in the world did he do that? So he finally said, how in the world is that cup sitting there? And Preacher Burge showed him that that cup was sitting there with a little a sticker that held it down. It wasn't going to move. Now, this may not be a very good illustration, but God's not going to move. God said there's only one way to be reconciled to him, and that's through his plan, his method. And man can change it 25,000 different ways, and he has. But there's only one way to be reconciled to God. There's only one way to meet God's standard, and that's to go God's way. The standard is Christ and the blood. That's the only way to get to heaven. You can't earn it. It's a gift. And it's by grace. And God's not going to change. He says, be ye reconciled or go to hell. That's the choice. It's not God's fault when men walk into hell or women walk into hell. It's not God's fault. It's man's fault. We have a message. That's our message. That should be the primary purpose for everything that goes on at Victory Baptist Church. The youth group downstairs, we're training them, but part of that training is to teach them to be soul winners. To get the message out. Not just through going door to door, but through everyday life. That's so important. Everybody that's saved has a ministry, and it's called the Ministry of Reconciliation. Hey, are you the right kind of ambassador? It's not whether you're an ambassador or not. You are an ambassador. You, right there. You say, boy, you're sure telling. No, I'm talking to you. You're an ambassador. If you're here tonight, saved by the blood, you are an ambassador. And your life ought to be wrapped up in telling people how to get right with God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. No one looking around. Every head bowed, every...